Chapter 9, Augur Scans.
General, what's in the latest missive from Aegea V?
The pincer offensive has begun, while the Gaul pocket has reverted to red status. Unprecedented attacks on the guard units around Gaul Primus and the exfiltration of Primaris Rovira have rattled the defenders. Casualties surpassed 10% for the week.
And the unmarked savant?
Nothing was mentioned.
What do the latest scans tell us?
That we may have erred. The Bloodthorn's location appears to be shifting. New energy signatures have ramped in Gaul Tertius, hinting at a move, but the levels in quarters haven't dropped. It doesn't make sense.
It would if Sarkis were doubling down on Gaul, but that would be a mistake on the part of the Druid. It would allow us to kill two demon hosts with a coordinated exterminator strike and cripple its chance for ascension. We'd only lose one compromised cluster in the process.
Only 1 billion souls.
General, I'm well aware of the cost.
Lord Materia, should we extract our primaries?
Find the Malleus agent. I need official confirmation from Gaul Cluster before I pull the trigger, and cancel all future reinforcements for Gaul. Inform Admiral Tirithian of the planned targets and have them prepare the exterminatus devices. I will make the final call once the situation is confirmed.
As you wish, Warmaster.
You handled that better than I expected. We just might make it out of here alive.
Geronimo Passingen leaned against the barricades in Sector 85B, taking a moment to relax. I glanced toward his holstered weapon in reply. So did you.
What did Mantisera mean when he said you were unmarked?
A warp entity will mark its victim, claiming ownership and damning their souls to suffer its presence, even after they die. The marks can manifest physically on the person's body and remain as vivid scars after the entity's power has been burned away.
Burned away?
Along with a piece of one's soul. Passingen looked away, searching for a new topic.
Was it like the blood glyphs?
The glyph's connection is far more fragile. Using my excess power, I was able to break the curse of many, and I'm not an Ordo banisher.
Will the silver glyphs remain on the walls?
Yes, until the cultists find a way to cleanse them. In a way, I've marked Hive Tertius, claiming cosmic ownership. The junior commissar took the news better than I expected.
Are you a warp demon or a saint?
Neither. I'm 5, but my friends call me Silver. Believe it or not, I was once an underhive gang boss.
A different kind of demon then, almost a commissar.
I grinned. Never that.
You didn't seem daunted by Lord Mantisera. He could have killed us both just for showing up uninvited.
He tried. Didn't you notice the opening fireworks?
So that pyro was following his lead.
Everyone in that room followed his lead, even us. It was a test.
You withstood the pyros best. You could have taken them all.
And I would have lost everything in the process. Commissar Bleacher would have won. I flicked my collar. Lord Mantisera was right about my collar and the commissariat, and he knew far too much about the workings of Hereticus.
Meaning?
The negotiations have only just begun. Our parade grew to more than 50 with Finn and 40 Ogryn commandos, 11 members of House Alibrand, Commissar Passingen, and warrant savant Keegan Bast. There was little to say and nothing to celebrate as we struggled upward through the maze of the blood-soaked hive. The silver counterspell had spread, creeping upward and outward into the nearest sectors. It fed off the blood curse, stealing power as it went. I expected it to grow even more after we escaped. The Ogryn marveled at the new sight and tapped the silver glyphs for good luck. Led by Lady Vuara Alibrand, the noble brood maintained their shell-shocked silence. The youngest scion was only 9 years old. The oldest was 23, a son. Each member was assigned an Ogryn bodyguard to guarantee their safety and assist in their progress. Keegan glanced at the silver tags, and it seemed to diffuse some of the rage within her. We'd gotten off to a contentious start. She'd lashed out with her kiss of fire, and I'd embraced it, getting a feel for her dark energy and wanting more. With Passingen positioned at the tail end of our column, Miss Bast and I led the way. I kept her close for those times when I needed a boost in pyromantic power. There were several, and she didn't hold back. Every cultist encounter seemed intent on pushing us east and sapping our energy. With each violent exchange, I burned the bodies to ash and donated an overdose of silver to the surrounding passages, planting seeds where only cadavers and blood once ruled. Our shared goal mapped out the first steps in Keegan's escape from a dark reality. I hadn't been lying about this being my second day in any war, and while I had overall responsibility for the mission, She took responsibility for me and our shared reserves. It changed both of our worlds from pain and loss to one of fury and an inner euphoria. Lady Alibrand remained stoic at the sight of blood running down her children's faces. She wouldn't give in to the fear or the incessant buzzing that seemed to grow inside our heads. She pointed out the safest spots to rest, alternative sector boundary crossings, and the likeliest dead ends. Ambush sites were plentiful, and it was nearly impossible to tell neutral from foe as we maneuvered through it all. Like a needle sewing up a corpse, I kept my thread of followers alive and moving upward. That was the mission. It morphed at times into the simple act of finding fresh air or potable water. It built impregnable walls of energy and cast bolts of lightning against hardened barriers. It scattered resistance in bursts of ash. It scouted for Felguard lying in wait. At each service lift bank, I painted a silver V. Five was here, marking the way home for those that might follow and pushing back the hellish insanity that assaulted everyone's mind. I fretted that I'd find a silver mark along the way, telling us that we were going in circles or down instead of up. Through it all, Keegan remained at my side, pointing out the way whenever I faltered. She shared her potent fire during our many skirmishes, watching me amplify the effects. The funnel process refilled my psychic reservoir and cleared my vision even as our knees buckled. I leaned on her more than I'd leaned on anyone in my life, and she leaned back. Lacking the energy for anything else, we operated in a mode of maximum trust and careful consideration of the trade-offs needed to make it out alive. That was the plan, anyway. It took us 12 hours to ascend the 2 miles to ground zero, and by the time we got there, I was at war with everything. I was a scourge. I burned every hanging corpse and bucket of blood. At every step, I slammed the glyph-strewn walls with raw silver, dipping heavily into my reserves from distant starfire. Keegan was spent. I'd been channeling from my chosen arcs, rationing their dwindling stores. They'd been in a pitched battle before our return trek began and were desperately low in energy to be pulled across our psyker net. Those of our escape group that still had open eyes wept blood. The youngest members of House Alibrand were unconscious and strapped across the backs of the seemingly tireless O'Grin. Lady Alibrand cried openly as her oldest son guided her along. The mission had become a nightmare, and I couldn't make them whole. Caught within a curse, I could only fight back and pray my reserves were enough. While Sub-Zero was a subterranean stack of entangled cities, lifts, and ramps, the upper half of the hive was spread across a forest of platforms, sky bridges, and megalithic towers. As the dividing sector between the upper and lower halves, Ground Zero was more open and more heavily patrolled. Geronimo and I had skirted it on the way in, scrambling into Sub-Zero and its challenges before anyone noticed. On the way out, we arrived nearer the city's center. That left us a horizontal trek of 2 miles due west to reach the edge of Tertius and another service tunnel back to Primus. Our group hid in a cramped maintenance bay beneath the final ramp up, trying to gather enough energy for the last leg to freedom. Most slept while I scouted the level above us in astral form. I searched multiple paths and mapped out enemy checkpoints. The cultists' activity seemed to be frantic and mostly flowing downward. Someone had kicked the hive. Heavily armed platoons of traitor guard were forming and disappearing down service lifts, leaving thinly manned barriers and patrols. I swept through several, stealing their life energy as I circled back to our group. Keegan had fallen asleep on the floor beside me. Tracks of blood lined her cheeks, and she shuddered with each breath. Around us, others moaned, rocked, or sleepwalked through the respite, and even the hardy commandos showed signs of exhaustion. The group had left everything behind, and I only had the thinnest reserves to spend. As I tried to slip away from Keegan, she grabbed my arm and pulled me closer, pressing her face into my shoulder.
"Don't go,"
she whispered.
"Not yet."
"Not yet." I hugged her back, breathing in the peppery scent of her unwashed auburn hair. That first blatant kiss of fire in the underhive had shattered any barriers between us. The soul-grinding hours that followed, working in tandem, and the trust it required had welded us together. The blood curse would abate, and a moment of euphoria would kick in as fire and silver flowed as one. We both felt it. I counted on its vivid memory to line the path I was about to take. Having Keegan's complete attention, I used the moment to describe her route west, It would be a straight shot into another maintenance bay, 2 miles distant. The locked bay would supply a service tunnel running southwest beneath the lines. The way would be clear, and if they moved fast, they could reach the exit tunnel in less than an hour. It would be on her shoulders to make it happen.
Why me?
Keegan's eyes were wide open now. Her adrenaline was kicking in. You're the ranking savant. Finn can act as your second. Commissar Passingen will guide you through the loyalist lines around Primus and deliver the Alibrands. She locked onto me with her bloodshot amber eyes.
Where will you be?
Circling north, then west, taking the long way home.
Will you be going alone?
I highly doubted I would be lacking in company, and that was the point. I have a force weapon on standby, a power glaive. I'll summon it when I need it.
How will I find you?
Find Major Kilhaven of the Fulcrum 1st Division. My arcs report to him. Stay with the 1st and avoid Primaris Rovira until I get there. Keep Finn and his company with you, just in case. A quick, heated exchange with Geronimo Passingen followed. Exhaustion was an incredibly persuasive tool, as was the lure of a straight pathway out. Lady Alibrand would have the access codes and enough knowledge to navigate the tunnels. Geronimo could have all the credit for the mission's success, as long as he protected Keegan Bast and kept everyone's hands off my collar's detonator. I was tired too, but would do my best to beat them back to our lines. Give me 5 minutes to draw a crowd. Don't look back. If you run into any trouble, let Finn deal with it and keep moving. We'd been drawing attention to Tertius for the better part of a day. Felguard hunters had to be roaming the hive by now and hunting the best ways out. I started my walk by calling them all with a telepathic taunt across the cavernous sector and planting a silver V beside the nearest stack of carnage. I could have burned it as well, but thought my heart might need that power to pump as I picked up the pace and veered north. In the distance, the first howls of pursuit echoed across the bleak landscape of tower footings, automated ramps, and lift banks. Through it all, the rabbit was making his final run. The escape tunnel was out of the question. I'd been crashing through teams of traitor guardsmen for the past hour, my second since leaving the group. The first hour had provided a raft of warp-tainted hunters in blind pursuit of one troublesome foe, and I had played the quarry to perfection. Feth, it's what I do best. Starfire had arrived on cue, taking down 10 of the Bloodthorn's most deadly minions in half as many seconds. Now I was holding back and limping for real. Another warp creature made its move as I angled for a traitor guard trench that dipped under the hive's dome shield. My shield was barely a thing at this point, and the Felguard's front claw caught me clean, hammering into my shoulder blade and dumping me into a forward roll. I came up sweeping Starfire and sliced off its hind leg. Scola Sykana had stressed the negative effects of channeling too much warp energy. The prime symptom was insanity, followed by numbness, as a hellgun ended your misery. I felt as clear as a siren bell, yet utterly crippled as my reserves reached critical levels of emptiness. I was drained, dehydrated, and drowning all at once. My faltering shield consumed the last drops of my energy as the hound spun for its final attack. The missing back leg ruined the creature's acceleration, and its return lunge became its last. Bolstered by the hum of a molecular disruptor, my glaive reversed, coming up through the attacker's chin. Part man, part jackal, the warp creature's head split in two. Its astral rider leapt free. On any other day, the dark soul would have bounced off my shield and dissolved. As the purely alien essence hit me, I screamed and fought, using up the last of my energy. Adrenaline was a thing of the past, but abject fear had its own way of stirring my resolve. I tracked the ethereal claws of the beast, blocking its attempts at marking me until it came apart for lack of an anchor on this side of the veil. I found myself flat on my back. The service ducts of Sector 01A loomed hundreds of feet directly overhead, yet my view was obstructed by the most hideous of faces. I rolled from beneath a long drip of bloody drool and tried to clamber onto my hands and knees. The world spun. The world buzzed. I coughed, feeling too weak to shake. What do you want? The bloody herald seemed to consider my question and position in life.
Nothing. It is you that wants, immensely.
Why are you here? The herald spread his arms wide, looking right then left.
On one hand, the Bloodthorn senses your claim and seeks your imminent departure from his domain. On the other, It offers you standing and all the power you can possibly hold. Which do you choose?
That's it?
What more could you want?
My freedom. I swept Starfire across the sector's filthy floor, slicing neatly through the Herald's ankle. The entity surprised me. It didn't complain or counterattack. It simply ignored its orphaned foot and the growing lake of blood as it stood upright on mismatched legs.
Five, you've given me a fitting response, but the Bloodthorn's offer remains on the table, or better yet, the floor.
The Herald chuckled, hobbling away like an upended fountain. I dragged my finger through the puddle of blood, forming another V, and tapped it with the tip of Starfire, calling forth the last of its reserve. My glaive would be little more than a crutch from here on in. I reached into my coat and pulled out a pair of medicuffs. They worked well on the recently departed, holding them in place until help could arrive. I snapped them onto my wrists and... Feth,